Abraham.
In my limited time, I thought I would consider Abraham. Abraham is a wonderful character, and it is no wonder that our Lord spoke about Abraham, who rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Isn't that a remarkable statement for our Lord to make about Jesus, about Abraham, rather. So we'll consider Abraham and his walking with God. It seems to me, dear brethren, that as time goes on, that we need to refresh our memory in regard to the Christian walk. And the only way we can do that is by the Scriptures. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction, for correction in righteousness, for doctrine. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Our brother testified just a little while ago, you know, sometimes these props go away from us, and what are we going to lean on? It is only upon the Lord and Him alone. And this Abraham did, for we read Abraham walked with God. He did not lean upon, other props, but he leaned upon the Lord and Him alone. He had experiences, no doubt, that taught him this lesson. And so when we read about Abraham in the 12th chapter, we read these words, that now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Brethren, just stop to think what these words mean. Place yourself in that position, if you can. Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Oh, just show thee. He's just going to show Abraham this land. Now, Abraham was probably from the lineage of Shem, from Noah's day, as you know, after the flood, the human family is scattered throughout that territory. And Abraham undoubtedly was a man that rejected the gods that surrounded him in that area, especially in Ur of Chaldees. There he must have had some inkling of the true God, the God of the universe. And God had recognized this and spoke to him to come out of the country from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now, brethren, that is not easy to do, is it? Supposing you had to move everything you had and move to a far country not knowing where you're going. Can you imagine the situation with Abraham? He must have been known by many in that area. Many people lived in that area. And he must have been well known. And here he's going to tell his neighbors and friends that he's going unto a land that God is going to show him. Well, you know very well that what they would think. They would think, well, now, what has happened to Abram? Where is he? He doesn't even know where he's going. And he's taking all his possessions, his animals and his family and his servants and going unto a far country. Oh, what a test of faith. It is no wonder that faith is so important to all of us. And as the Apostle Paul mentions that about Abraham in the Galatians, the 3rd chapter, 9th verse. So then they which of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Brethren, we too, unto us are given exceeding great and precious promises. We tell this to our neighbors and friends and they think, well, what kind of a promise is that? You're going to leave the country like Abraham, although we're in this world, but not of it. We leave it in the sense of following in the footsteps of our Master, leaving it because of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're called of God, called to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and if faithful, be part of that Abrahamic covenant, the seed of Abraham, through which all the families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham did that. He left his country, his kindred, and his father's house. And he journeyed in that area, Mesopotamia, about 700 miles north. If you can recall your map, up to Haran. And there he dwelt for some seasons. Now, you know that Abraham was 75 years of age. And he died at the age of 175. So when he left Haran, and until he died, 100 years have passed. And as he journeyed unto the land that God has promised, we see the remarkable providential overruling in his life. For the Lord continues unto Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What a remarkable faith Abraham had to follow these promises. And he did so. And so Abraham departed unto the Lord, that is, unto the Lord's promises, the promises that God had spoken to him. But when Abram left, he took with him Terah, his father, also his nephew Lot. Now, I imagine Lot thought, well, now my uncle is going to have this promised land, the land of Canaan. I'll go with him, and possibly I'll inherit some of these promises. And so Lot went with him. But our story is not about Lot so much as about the faith of Abraham. And so Abraham left Haran, and then he journeyed south into the land of Canaan. And there he dwelt for a season. But you know what had happened? There was a famine in the land. He's reached the land of Canaan, the land that is promised to him. But instead there is a famine in the land. And the Lord appeared unto him, as it is mentioned in the 7th verse of the 12th chapter, and the Lord appeared unto him, said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Notice, at first, God, the Lord, would show him the land. Now, because Abram has reached the land, I will give thee this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. This is one of the most interesting passages in the regards to Abram. He built an altar unto the Lord. I can imagine he had communion and fellowship with the Lord in respect to these promises. And to show his appreciation, he built an altar unto the Lord. Now, he did this in the land of Canaan. He did not have an altar in Ur of Chaldees, nor in Haran, but when he reached Canaan, he built an altar unto the Lord. And he removed thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hiah on the east. And there he builded an altar of the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Think of his remarkable faith. Brethren, how much more faith should we have when we have all the history behind us of our 6,000 years practically of history of mankind and all the lessons of the Old Testament as well as the New? We can see the promised land so much closer. And no wonder the Apostle Paul mentions, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, but so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We see that wonderful day will come when all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Abram journeyed going still towards the south. And there was famine in the land, and it was very grievous. And it came to pass when he came near unto Egypt, he left Canaan because of the famine. Then he went down into Egypt. You know, I have a hunch that Lot might have had something to do with this. He could not stay there, and he felt, well, now, Uncle Abram, let's go down to Egypt, for there is a prosperous land. There's plenty of everything. Let's go down into Egypt. And so Abram did. And you know, he got into trouble there. We will not go into that problem, but he had problems there, and so he had to come out. But brethren, what a lesson that is for us. Can we find help in Egypt? Did Abraham find help on his journey to the promised land in Egypt? Oh, no. We have these words, for instance, in Isaiah about Abram. In Isaiah, the 30th chapter, we read something there that the prophet Isaiah states, that the 30th chapter and the first and third verse, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." Now, Abram left Canaan. He did not take counsel of the Lord in what he should do, but he went ahead and journeyed to Egypt. He did not take counsel, not from the Lord. And Isaiah continues, "And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That walk to go down into Egypt, have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt be your confusion." And this is what Abram encountered. He encountered confusion and trouble. In Isaiah, the 31st chapter, in the first verse, "Woe unto them that go down into Egypt for help, and stayed on horses and trust in chariots, because there are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong." Many. Where there's many, that's where the human nature likes to comfort itself. But there we will not find help. "But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek ye the Lord." And so Abram went down into Egypt. There was no altar there, was there? Nothing. You don't read of any altar of Abram that built an altar in Egypt. So we see, brethren, that Abram had to come out of Egypt, and then he came back into the land of Canaan. And while he was there, we find that they have increased in wealth. Abram's cattle and servants and wealth had increased. So had Lot, too. He had cattle and servants. And as a matter of fact, as you remember, Hagar was an Egyptian. And probably when Abram was down into Egypt, he had brought her as a servant. And so we see that while they were in Canaan, there was strife between Abram and Lot. And how wonderfully did Abram treat the situation. He had given choice to Lot, saying, to Lot, if you take the right hand, I will take the left hand. And of course, Lot beheld the valley of Jordan. And it was like the garden. I imagine like the Garden of Eden is suggested. And also like the land of Egypt, which was fertile and plenty of fruits and vegetation, all that was necessary for their cattle. Isn't it interesting when you notice that a man with a natural mind will always take the lower ground, the earthly ground, the earthly way. And in this case, we see that Lot took the valley of Jordan. And in this valley, we find that this is where the city of Sodom and Gomorrah existed. According to the maps, we find that in this area, the land area is 1,292 feet below sea level, a lower level. You read about Abram. He dwelt in the tents of Mamre. And it's interesting to notice that Mamre suggests that you can see afar off, a long distance. Even the location of Abram's dwelling is a suggestion to the new creature in Christ, that those who discern the deep things of God can live on a higher level. But if we have an earthly mind, we will seek the lower level. The lower level, the earthly level. These are wonderful lessons for the new creature in Christ. Come up higher, up higher. Our Master often to his disciples taught them how to pray, how to live closer to the Lord, how to have communion with the Father. Our Lord prayed often, and in every incident that preceded him, he prayed for the Father's guidance and divine blessing. Even in the raising of Lazarus, he prayed for divine guidance. And as a matter of fact, he prayed 3 nights. It is recorded that he had that communion with the Father and prayed all night. Oh, it doesn't mean that he used words continually, but his communion, that fellowship with the Father, was there. And so, what a lesson it is. We find that Abram came back. When he came from Egypt, he came back to the altar that he had built at the first. Abram has a wonderful example of building an altar, of communion with the Father, of living on a higher ground of devotion and consecration to the Lord. I'm amazed at his faith when you consider what little information he had, only just the promise of God that would give him this land, and that through his seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so Abram prayed to the Lord. But while he was there, as you know, that Lot sought the lower level. He sought the fertile land because he could see that this would be a great advantage to him and to his cattle. And while he was there, he was not only living there, but he was a judge there. A judge in the city of Sodom. Can you imagine, brethren, Lot saying to himself, it is not recorded, but I can imagine Lot thinking, well, now, my uncle, he's living up there in the plains of Mamre, all by himself, as far as the world is concerned. You know, there were many other nations surrounding that area. It wasn't just Abraham and Lot. There were other nations. I can imagine Lot saying to himself, look what Abram's doing. He's all alone up there in the plains of Mamre. And he's boasting what he's doing. He's a judge in Sodom. He's trying to do something for these people. He's trying to revive them. He's trying to bring a message to them. Though he was righteous, yet he thought he was doing something wonderful. But what had happened? The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked beyond the recovery of all the efforts that the lots can do. It is doomed. And so the angels appeared unto Abram and telling him that he will show him what is to happen. Now notice, the angels appear to Abram, not to Lot. Lot didn't know anything about this. But notice the character of Abram. He prays to the Lord. If there's 50 righteous souls, would you save Sodom? If there's 40, and he goes down to 10, and towards the last he says to God, as he prays, as he says, I am but dust, he prays once again. If there's 10 souls left, no, there isn't 10. And so Lot was delivered out of Sodom because of Abram's prayers. There Lot was delivered, as you know. But as we go on in this story, these are wonderful lessons for us as new creatures to live like Abram, to have that faith of Abram. We consider now that at his old age, he's still waiting for the seed. And in his anxiety to obtain that seed, Hagar bore Ishmael. And he prayed to the Lord that this would be the promised seed. But no, the Lord said that Sarah would bear a seed. And so that Abram finally did obtain a seed. And as the years went on, then the Lord had spoken unto him to give up the seed, to offer him. And this Abram did. He went to Mount Moriah and there built an altar and laid Isaac on the altar, ready to slay him. And the Lord said, it is enough. And there in the thicket was a ram provided to take Isaac's place. Now, brethren, what a remarkable faith that is. But how was that faith developed? All through the journeys, all through his experiences of all these years, he had developed such a strong faith that he staggered not at the promises of God. He staggered not at some of these things that he may not understood fully, but had faith in God. And so, brethren, we too, in this day that we live, we are to have that strong faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Faith in God and in his precious word. Jesus said in Luke 11, chapter 28, verse, if any, blessed is he that heareth the word of God and keep it. This is our test. And so may these lessons of the Old Testament, particularly in Abraham, be an encouragement and a blessing as we seek to travel throughout this wilderness journey. And the Lord will never leave nor forsake us. And so may these few words be a blessing to you as it has been to me. May the Lord add his blessings.